بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Mentioning a few incidents yesterday, we had mentioned the incident of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, and people wanted to kill him. When he explained to them, did you see a ship laden with goods and sailing from one side to the other side? Can it go by itself? So they said it's impossible. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh says that when a ship cannot operate without a sailor, how can the entire universe operate without an operator, someone controlling it? All of this, following hearing this 8 years, they accepted Islam. Next example, someone asked Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi for the proof of a creator. He replied by indicating towards the face and said that the face of a man is small and yet it consists of eyes, nose, tongue, cheeks, lips, etc. Notwithstanding this, no two people's faces are the same. The voice, the mannerisms and habits of each person is unique. In short, the fact that every person's features and profiles are not alike, nor are their tones, voices, habits and character alike, proves that this is definitely the work of a supreme creator who has blessed each person with his own uniqueness which differs from others. This can never be the work of matter or molecules, nor can it be pure coincidence. An atheist asked Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi for the proof of a creator. He replied that one must look at the leaves of a mulberry tree. The taste, the color and smell of all of them are alike. But when a silkworm is therefrom, silk is produced. When a bee is therefrom, honey is produced. When a sheep is therefrom, it ejects it as droppings. And when a deer is from there, musk is produced. All these different things are made from the one and the same source. It is obvious that all of these different products are the result of an all-knowing, most powerful creator. These are certainly not the result of natural occurrences. If it were, then the result would have all been the same. Belief number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He is not in need of anyone. He has not begotten any children, nor was He begotten. There is absolutely no comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the epitome of all perfect qualities. Whatever comes to our small minds and imaginations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that and supersedes everything. Belief number three, there is nothing similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is completely unique. He has no partner. There is none equal to Him in His being, attributes and actions. Only He is worthy of worship. To worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe rebellion, which is referred to as shirk, polytheism. Belief number four. Nothing happens without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single leaf can move without His will. The example of the system of the world is unlike a watch, which has been wound, after which the winder has no choice in controlling its movements. But his example is like a person who is physically moving the hands of a clock and is stopping and moving is entirely in his control. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system of the world operates. Allah ta'ala has not given anyone the choice to carry out his task, as kings appoint people to do their work. The king's representatives are unable to do their work without the consent of the king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this. For example, the angel of death has the duty of extracting lives, but he has no choice until the command of Allah ta'ala arrives. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhimu salam to guide mankind, but guidance lies in his control. In short, every affair is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives benefit and harm. No witchcraft, magic, sangomas and evil spirits of their ancestors can cause one to die or cause harm to anyone. Everything happens only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us yaqeen and conviction in this. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, from the third para, the half was recited until the third quarter of the fourth para. It's the end of the third quarter. The beginning, the surah is Surah Ali Imran. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to ask Allah ta'ala for hidayat and guidance. Guide us on the straight path and the path of the pious people and not the path of those who are astray and misguided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first surah was Surah Baqarah, where He mentioned about the Jews, warning us about the evils of the Jews and their characteristics, and we should stay far away from the ways of the Jews. The next surah is Surah Ali Imran, where Allah ta'ala in great detail mentions about the Christians, how a person must stay away from the misguidance of the Christians and their lifestyle and their way. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an incident that many Christians from Najran, about a whole delegation of about 60-70 people, came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask about Islam, and they had certain doubts. So when they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things they mentioned was that in the Quran Allah says that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is ruhum min. He's a ruh from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it shows that he is like the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent certain verses of the Quran which are muhkamat, very, very clear, straightforward. Allah says that Isa alayhi salam is like his son. And very, very clearly Allah has mentioned his oneness. And the other side, there are certain ayats of the Quran which are mutashabihat, which are not very clear. But those people in whose heart he has misguidance, they only run after those ayat and verses which is not very clear. And their objective is to make their own interpretation and to cause trouble amongst people. Whereas the actual meaning of this is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people who are strong in iman, in knowledge, they say, Amen Nabi, we believe in it. But the meaning of that ayat, we don't delve into the mutashabihat, those verses which are not very clear. There are many other ayats of the Quran like that. Where, for example, Alif Lam Mim, or Istawa al-Arsh, Allah Ta'ala makes Istawa on the Arsh. So many of the Salafis, unfortunately, they have also followed this way. They only go and discuss these matters, which is something which is hidden from our minds and our understanding regarding the Zat and Sifat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the people of Iman, they say, Kullu min indina, everything is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we believe in it. And they don't go and delve into these matters. And they make this dua, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. O our Creator and Sustainer, do not misguide our hearts after you gave us hidayat. And from your side, grant us rahmat. Rahmat here means istiqamat on deen, steadfastness on deen and iman, the true way. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. You are the one who is the greatest giver of gifts. You have given us the gift of iman. O Allah, never ever snatch it away from us and keep us with iman. So this is a very beautiful dua, which our Mashayikh mentioned, if you try to read it every day for the protection of a person's iman. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in this world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different tests. The hubbu shahawat, the love of things which a person has got desire for, whether it's women, children, a lot of wealth, gold and silver, horses in today's times, all different cars, smart cars and all the top of the range cars, and our animals and plantations, all of this Allah has made it's beautified for people. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But these are only things to utilize in this worldly life. It's not the object of your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best return. As I tell you people, what is better than this? For those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has prepared jannat, flowing beneath their rivers. They will remain in there forever and forever. One beautiful wife, pure wives Allah has made. And the greatest is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching His bandas and servants. Who are His servants? Those people who say, Oh Allah, we believe in You. Forgive our sins and save us from the fire of Jahannam. They are the people who have got the quality of sabr in them. They are the truthful people, the obedient people, those who are spending their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the time of Sari also, they are making, they're doing tahajjud salah also, but they are asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness because they know that their amal and actions are not up to the standard, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that izzat and zillat, honor and disgrace lies only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has got full control over all the things in the world. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. Allah gives honor to whomsoever He wants to, and Allah disgraces whomsoever He wants to. In the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything, and Allah has got power over everything. The day coming into the night, and the night changing into the day. Life coming out from the dead, and the dead coming out from the life. Life coming out from the dead means, for example, the egg is dead, from there life chicken is coming out. That from the womb of the mother, there is like nothing, the sperm cell which is dead, and from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out a living human being. And from the living human being, from the living animal, the dead egg comes out. From the human being also, the sperm which comes out is like completely dead, there's got no life. And some ulama say it has a meaning also, that sometimes from a person of iman, a living person, Allah ta'ala takes out a kafir and a disbeliever. And sometimes from a disbeliever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out a person of life, spiritual life, who is a believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants roji and sustenance to whomsoever He wants to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah, many places He mentions that you never take the kuffar and disbelievers as your friend. If a person does this here, فَلَيْسَ فِي شَيْءٍ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ, then he's got no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore a person has to be very careful. If you claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you and Allah will forgive your sins. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of his rozi and sustenance, all lies in Allah Ta'ala's hand, full control. For example, Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went into the room of Maryam radiallahu anha, then he always found fruit out of season. So he asked her, where are you getting this? So she immediately said, with such yaqeen and conviction, هو من عند الله, It is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grants rosy and sustenance how He wants to, without any reckoning, without any calculations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give as He wants to, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to. When Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam saw that he was an old person, he always had a desire for a child, and he thought to himself, when Allah can give fruits out of season, then why can't Allah ta'ala grant me or two a fruit out of my season? I'm gone old now, but Allah can give it. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and eventually Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam was born to his wife at a very old age, which normally a woman is barren. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the even greater sign of his qudrat. One is a person is old and he gets a child, normally against habit. But even more powerful sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who came in the world without a father, only born from a mother. From here, ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got different systems. One is Allah ta'ala works according to the normal system in the world. So a person also, when he sees the normal system in the world, he must understand and attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then sometimes Allah wants to show us that the systems of the world have got no power at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works without any causes, asbab. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was born without a father and a mother. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works against asbab, against the means. But only with a mother, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. And only from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Hawa radiallahu anha was taken out. So Allah works with means, without means, and sometimes against means. So he also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he created Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in great detail. And eventually Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was raised into the heavens, and he will come down before Qiyamah, where he will kill Dajjal, and eventually he will pass away in a normal way, how a person passes away. So at the moment Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that eventually these Christians, they had a long discussion with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were not prepared to accept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to have a mubahala. Mubahala is a kind of debate where each group must curse the other one. Whoever is al-haq and the truth, he will say that if I'm speaking lies and Allah's curses be upon me, the Christians were not prepared to do so, because many of them knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was true. From here we learn also that this interfaith which people are having, this is completely incorrect against Islam, because they are personally saying, my religion is like this, what's your religion? But you're not fighting and you're not saying that the other religion is wrong. If a person is having a debate where the person is saying and he's explaining that your religion is completely wrong, and this is the way of Islam, that's how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did also, that he said that this is completely batil and falsehood, then this is correct. But nowadays they have this interfaith where the Christians will speak about their things, the Jews will speak about their things, the Muslims will speak about their things, and outwardly it seems that all the deens are exactly the same. But this is completely incorrect. In the end of this parah also, Allah Ta'ala says, with certain people, they left the fold of Islam after entering into Islam. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغَ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Any person who seeks any other deen besides Islam, it will never be accepted from him. So today, now in some countries in the world, where they have got their masjid and the church and the synagogue all but next to one another, and they say, we can worship, we also worship like yours. One day you worship, one day we worship. It is completely against Islam. It's against the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought Islam in its purity, and he said, if even Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam had to come down now, he also would be at no other way, but he would follow the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this mubahala which took place, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in there mentions a person who breaks his pacts and promises. He's taken a promise to somebody and he goes against it. It's a very severe warning for him, and just to attain some worldly benefits, samanan qalila, small benefits of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 5 punishments for him. There is no portion for that person in the year after. Allah will not speak to them on the day of Qiyamah with mercy. Allah will not look at them with mercy. Allah will not purify them. They will have to go by Jahannam. And for them is a very severe and painful punishment. Therefore, when a person speaks, he should be very careful about the pact which he makes, the promise which he makes, not just to break it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the pact which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala had taken from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When any Nabi comes, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, then you people must believe in him and help and assist him if he is in your time. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam accepted the pact which was made with them in Alim Arwah. Besides this, there were other pacts also made where people said they would follow the final Nabi, etc., which comes later on in the Quran Sharif. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, as we have said, that anybody who follows any other path besides Islam, his deen will never be accepted from him. And those people who have disbelief and they die whilst they are kafir, the whole world full of gold will never be accepted from them, even if they are trying to save themselves on the day of Qiyamah. For them is a very severe and painful punishment, and there will be no helpers and assistance for them. In the fourth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you can never get true piety until you spend from that which you love. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu sometimes he used to give sugar in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody said, rather give bread, it's more beneficial. He said, no, I love sugar. So what I love also myself, I like to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this ayat of the Quran. That Allah says, you can never get true piety until you don't spend from that which a person loves. And Allah says, but whatever a person is spending, Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter speaks about the Kaaba Sharif, the great honor and respect of it. And every person must make an attempt at least once in his life. Allah has given him wealth and he should go for Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about taqwa, to get taqwa in our lives. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haqqa tuqatihi. The right of Allah Ta'ala's fear. What is the means of the right of Allah Ta'ala's fear? That Allah Ta'ala must be obeyed and Allah must not be disobeyed. A person must make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must not be unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person must make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mustn't be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And do not die except that you are a Muslim. How will a person die as a Muslim? If he is living throughout his life as a Muslim, then inshallah he will die as a Muslim also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hold firm unto the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hablullah, the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you, it's the Quran Sharif, and do not divide. You are holding on to the truth, be firm on it, and then Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance will come with you people. Remember the ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you were enemies of one another, then by means of the Quran Sharif, by means of deen, Allah Ta'ala unified the heart, and you became brothers by means of this great, the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says amongst you people, how will this come, where all will be united in the Quran Sharif? There must be one jamaat calling people towards goodness, commanding evil, and prohibiting people from commanding towards good, and preventing people from evil. And they are the completely successful people. So there must be one special jamaat doing this work here. And in the next page also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why we are the best of ummah? Because we have been taken out for the benefit of mankind, commanding people towards righteousness, preventing them from evil. And the greatest righteousness is iman. And the worst evil is kufr. So one meaning of this ayat is because the next ayat Allah says, وَلَوْ أَمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, if the Ahlul Kitab believe, it will be better for them. So it shows the great importance of giving da'wah to non-Muslim people, inviting them towards the greatest ma'ruf, iman, and prohibiting them from the greatest evil, which is kufr and shirk. And this, unfortunately, we are very weak in it. How many of us actually give da'wah? Do we even know how to give da'wah to non-Muslim people? But it's our duty and responsibility. And the first work which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did coming in the 12th, was giving da'wah towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nas qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. So really this is a very important branch of our deen in which generally there is very great neglect regarding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the next page again mentions about never take the kuffar and disbelievers as your friends, because they've got enmity and hatred in their hearts, on their tongues also, and they like that thing which will cause harm to you people. They're always trying to cause difficulty to the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ha antum ulai tuhibbunahum. These people, you love them, but they do not love you people. Whereas you believe in the whole kitab. So how can you have love and connection with them? A person must be very careful, this love of the kuffar and disbelievers. Sometimes it leads a person to kufr himself. He starts uttering words of kufr. It is very common amongst people when it comes to like Christmas, or it comes to New Year's, or it comes to the Easter. Can we tell a person Happy Easter, Merry Christmas, or whatever, we are wishing them well on the kufr and shirk. As one alim mentioned so beautifully, he says that to congratulate someone on zina, on fornication, or to congratulate somebody on stealing is wrong, it's completely incorrect. But that sin is less than the sin of congratulating a person on kufr and shirk, on his festivals, the festivals of kufr. We should be very, very careful. In many newspapers, you get Muslim people are writing there that we wish all our customers a Merry Christmas. So we are actually happy with that kufr and shirk which these people are doing. So we have to be very careful at that time, on all of these occasions, especially those who are living in non-Muslim countries. We have to be very careful for our iman. If we see sometimes certain words which are by which a person can come out of the fall of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter in great detail mentions about the battle of Badr, that's somewhat concise, and then the battle of Uhud, where the Muslims, they went through some loss. And the main reason for their loss was they disobeyed the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he had placed certain people at a certain position and told them, don't move from here. He gave strict instructions, but they made an error, mistake of error of judgment, and because of that the Muslims were made to suffer a loss. and they went through that battle. 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu became shaheed. For a Muslim, it's not actually a loss, it's a great victory. To become a shaheed is a great thing. But outwardly, they suffered a loss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the whole battle in great detail and what was the reasons for their loss. Till Qiyamah, Allah is teaching us lessons that if a Muslim army goes under any loss, what is the actual cause of it? It's because maybe leaving the Sunnah Tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one command they went against, and the whole army, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people actually thought he passed away, that he had become shaheed. And Allah ta'ala sent ayat of the Quran that the time will come, he will also pass away. But anyhow, there was so much of fear at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in great detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that every one of us must hasten towards forgiveness and jannat. With the breadth of it is the size of the heavens and the earth. How massive must be the length of jannat. And Allah has prepared jannat for the muttaqeen. Who are the muttaqeen, the truly pious people? Those people who are spending their wealth in good conditions, easy conditions and difficult conditions. Those people who control their anger. Allah is not saying they do not have anger, but they control their anger. Allah didn't say, وَالْعَادِنِينَ الْغَيْثِ. A person doesn't have anger at all. But every person has got this quality, قُوَةِ غَذَبِيَّ, anger within him, he controls it. And those people who forgive people. And Allah loves those people, never mind only forgiving, they even do good to those who have done wrong to them. And another quality of the people of taqwa is, whenever they do any immoral action, or they oppress themselves, they immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, and they ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Who is there who can forgive besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is prepared to forgive. Whenever we make mistakes, turn our attention back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coming to the end, the last ruku, the last quarter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that after the battle of Uhud, when the people of Makkah thought, let's go back and finish the Muslim people, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a call of jihad again, and how Sahaba radiallahu anhu, immediately they stood up, after going through so much of, many of them were severely wounded, but subhanAllah, what was the iman? And they stood up, and they were prepared to go back. One person came to them and told them, you know what, they've all gathered against you people, fear them. They increased their iman. And they said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. And Allah is the best of helpers and assistants. This is the same dua which Ibrahim alayhi salam read when he was thrown in the fire. And Allah's help and assistance came to him. Whenever we are facing through problems, difficulties, to recite this dua, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created fear in the hearts of the enemies and they ran away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the dunya, the Sahaba went to that place, he started trading and doing some business. And a lot of profit they made. And they returned. This was through the barakat and blessings of following the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that every one of us eventually will taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. All your rewards is not in this world. You will get the full rewards on the day of Qiyamah. And a person who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and entered into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازَ. He has passed his examination with flying colors. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life is nothing but a box of deception. Some goods of deception. Do not become deceived by this, by the worldly things in this world, because this will take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah mentions in the last ruku also. La yaghurrannaka taqallubu alladhina kafaru fil bilad. The people, the kuffar and disbelievers who are moving around in the earth, they are running from here to there for their businesses, for their holidays. That did not put you into deception. Mata'un qaleel. For a short while they are getting some benefits. Summa ma'wahum jahannam. Then the final abode is the fire of Jahannam. What an evil place it is. But those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has kept Jannat for them. They must prepare for the life of Akhirat, the life of the year after. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرُ لِلْأَبْرَارِ. Whatever is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better for those people who have got piety within their lives. So this is what a person must make an effort towards. In the last ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ayat that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes when coming for Fajr Salah, he used to look up in the skies at Tahajjud time and he would read this whole ayat. And he said, destruction be to a person who reads this ayat and doesn't ponder over this ayat. That in the fi khalq al-samawat, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, changing of the day and night, there are many, many signs for the people of intelligence. Who are intelligent people? Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing, while sitting, while lying down. And they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And after they see all of this, they say, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila. O Allah, you haven't created all of this in vain. O Allah, you are pure. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Allah, whoever you enter into the fire, we have disgraced that person. O Allah, we have heard somebody calling towards Iman. Believe in Allah, so we believed. O Allah, forgive our sins. Remove our shortcomings. And let us pass away with the pious people. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us what you have promised us. The tongues of your Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Do not disgrace us in the day of Qiyamah. It's a beautiful dua of the Quran Sharif. We should try to learn it. And once in a day, if Allah gives us tawfiq in the morning Fajr time, while we are walking for Fajr Salah, look up towards the skies and follow the Sunnah tariqah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by reciting these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and true understanding.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أي الجهاد أعظم أجرا قال أكثرهم لله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا قال فأي الصائمين أعظم أجرا قال أكثرهم لله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا ثم ذكر الصلاة والزكاة والحج والصدقة كل ذلك ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أكثرهم لله تعالى ذكرا فقال أبو بكر لعمر يا أبا حفص ذهب الذاكرون بكل خير فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجل حضرت معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک شخص نے رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سے پوچھا کون سا جہاد کا اجر سب سے زیادہ ہے ارشاد فرمایا جس جہاد میں اللہ تعالی کا ذکر سب سے زیادہ ہو پوچھا روزے داروں میں سب سے زیادہ اجر کیسے ملے گا ارشاد فرمایا جو اللہ تعالی کا سب سے زیادہ ذکر کرنے والا ہو پھر اسی طرح نماز زکاة حج اور صدقہ کے متعلق رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ وہ نماز زکاة حج اور صدقہ افضل ہے جس میں اللہ تعالی کا ذکر زیادہ ہو حضرت ابو بکر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے حضرت عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سے فرمایا ابو حفص ذکر کرنے والے ساری خیر و بلائی لے گئے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا بالکل ٹھیک کہتے ہو حضرت معاذ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ report that a man once asked Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم which mujahid earns the greatest reward Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم replied the one who excels in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the man further asked which of those who keep fast attain the greatest reward Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم again replied the one who excels in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the man then repeated the same question regarding salah, zakat, hajj and sadaqah and each time received the same reply i.e. the one who excels in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon hearing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Abu Hafs, it seems as if the zakirin, those who make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taken all that is good. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, most certainly.